judiciary, in our last session, we spoke about human justice, which is based on punitive action. Some of it is retributive. And most times, the justice that we want is based on merit and reward, that a person should be rewarded for their injustice or for their actions committed against another. But when you consider the justice of God, when you consider the way God administrates justice, you have to always keep in mind that when you read the scriptures, you will always find that justice and mercy are always presented jointly in scripture. So while we see God as being just and being a judge, we also know that God is our Savior and He is our Father. Isaiah 45 verse number 21 tells us, "Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me?" The last part of the verse says, "A just God," or a righteous God, "and a Savior." So you can see that God is always presenting Himself not only as a righteous God or as a just God. When you speak of justice, you also speak of righteousness, but as a just God and as a Savior. The saving nature of God is His mercy. We see that even in the time when Jonah went to Nineveh, and even though Nineveh were a wicked people, but when Jonah began to speak to them, they declared a fast and repented before God, and Jonah was angry because God had relented. And we see God's mercy over the city of Nineveh, because God is righteous, but He is also a Savior. He is merciful. So His judgment must always be seen, or we must have a perspective or a view through the lens of mercy. Isaiah 46 verse 13 says, "I bring my righteousness near, it shall not be far off, my salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory." Now here's the two words again, righteousness and salvation. Again, salvation is connected to God's mercy. I'll just give you one more verse. Psalm 71 verse 15, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation." So you can see that jointly God speaks of righteousness and salvation, or righteousness and His mercy. Now, while we focus a lot on retributive justice, which is founded on being rewarded for good or for bad, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." But you see, the reward or the merit system of God is not just as judge, but as Father. And this is the difference. Yes, those will receive a reward for good or for evil, but God, who is a righteous judge, is also a Father. So He rewards because He sees as a Father, not just judging as a judge. So Matthew 6, 1, all of us know these portions of scripture well. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Matthew 6, 4, "That your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." When you pray, the Bible tells us that pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will judge you openly. Matthew 6, 17, "When you fast and anoint your head and wash your face, do not appear before men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So the merit and reward system of judgment is not just because God is a righteous judge, but he is also our Father. You see, in Matthew 20, the parable talks to you about laborers who come in from the vineyard. And they are called from the marketplace to work in the vineyard, and they are called to come in at different times to come and work in the vineyard. And while they are working in the vineyard, we know that they all get paid the same wage. Now, you would say that by getting paid the same wage, that was an injustice because some came in early in the morning and others came in at the 11th hour. And you would say it is unjust for those who came in at the last to receive the same wage as those who came in first. So the justice system of the world in terms of the labor law would be first in or last, or rather last in first out. But here the justice system of the kingdom is based on the principle of righteousness. Now listen to this carefully. Those who came in first, if you read Matthew 20, had an agreement. And the agreement was that you will work for one denarii for the day. And everyone was receiving their one denarii for the day. Those who came in last, there was no agreement. They were just willing to work. And as they were willing to work, there was no agreement. But when they worked, they received the same wage as the one who came in first. Now, what was God highlighting in the parable? He was establishing the principle of righteousness, not just to give one what is right. The rights of those who came in first were not violated because they received what they agreed. But in the principle of righteousness, those who came in last came in without any agreement. They were just willing to work. So God honored the principle of righteousness by giving them the same as those who had agreed to work for a denarii. Look at the story of David in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, in a time where everything was taken from them. But in the time where everything was restored, 600 men went in to recover everything. 200 were very tired, and so they stayed at a brook called Besor. 400 men went with David and recovered everything. So when they came back to the camp, the 400 did not want to share what the spoils that they had recovered with the 200 that remained behind. Now, was it right? Was it an injustice? Because they felt, listen, we extended ourselves. We went further than they were. But they all started in the battle together. So David was highlighting it is not just what your right is. It is what is the righteous thing to do. And the righteous thing to do is that we share all our spoils equally. And that's exactly what he did. So in justice, you highlight the principle of righteousness. And the kingdom of God is righteousness. When you highlight the principle of righteousness, which is a law of the kingdom, it is higher than just getting what is your right. And that is the difference between the judicial system that is in the world and biblical judiciary. So the justice of God is always redemptive. It is not to condemn. So in terms of God's redemptive nature, it is not just to give one what is right, but to establish righteousness, which is the very nature of God. Now, the redemption of God is founded on the fact that God is our Savior. It is because He redeems us by His blood, and this is why we are saved. 1 Peter 1 verse 17 puts it this way. And if you call on the Father, so look at the situation. When you call, you call on the Father. You're not just calling on the one who's going to make a judgment, or you're not just calling on God who is a judge. Because the verse tells us, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges. So it is in the nature of Father that he judges the matter. According to each one's work, the Bible says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition and from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the Father judges without partiality because he redeems us with the blood of Christ. How we judge matters on the earth is determined by how we see the justice of God. We must see God as our Father and our Savior. In administrating justice, rather, the aspect of righteousness and mercy, or righteousness and God as our Savior, must be jointly seen. Because the righteous principle that will be established is to ensure the redemptive work of Christ, not to condemn someone. You see, the earthly matters of the earth judges matters with a punitive nature. So we lock up the perpetrator physically. Biblical justice has a redemptive nature, setting the perpetrator free in soul and in spirit. This is the redemptive work of God. You see that when Jesus deals with the woman caught in adultery, it is the redemptive work of God. You see it when he deals with Zacchaeus. It is the redemptive work of God. While Zacchaeus was a tax collector and was regarded as one who had stolen from the people, the saving nature of Christ is that he returned whatever was due and he gave fourfold. But it was God's saving nature that we see in Zacchaeus's life. Think about biblical justice in the redemptive nature of God. Don't think about it in its punitive nature. We want justice. We want to receive what is right. But more importantly, the righteousness principle must be established when we are administrating justice. May we always administrate justice through the lens of God as our Father and God as our Savior. We thank you this morning, Abba Father, that you have given us insight into how we administrate justice and righteousness on the earth. May we be representatives of the kingdom in the way we see matters. The Bible says, according to the way we judge, it will be measured out to us. But may we always remember that your justice is redemptive. It is to bring people into the saving grace and into the mercy of God. Yes, people will be punished, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We are called to be people that are dispensers of eternal life and to redeem those that will receive justice. Thank you for your word that will set us free in the area of biblical justice. In Jesus' name, amen.